Today's daf is Becharos daf Chaf Gimel. We are holding on daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, but these two dots are not the beginning of a new topic. It's a continuation of what we were discussing yesterday. So let's quickly go over the last point that we made. On daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara had said that if a person purchases seer, fish brine, from an Am HaAretz, So the Reish Lakish had said, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, that if you buy fish brine from an Am HaAretz, you could do Hashaka, be mitahirid by Hashaka, by combining it or having it kiss the waters of a mikvah, and it's therefore going to be tahar, because mimanavshach, if the tzir is made up mostly of water, so then the Hashaka is mitahirid. If it's not made up mostly of water, it's made up mostly of tzir, so then it was never tameh in the first place. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, shouldn't you be concerned for the following situation? Well, or Rabbi Yirmiya said that this is in fact the case, that we're concerned for the following situation. What if it's a minority water, and therefore you don't have to worry about the tumma because it's batel barov, but then you go and you put it in a pot full of other water, the other water is going to then combine with the minority of water that's in the tzir, and it will turn it into a majority, and now the tumma is going to be reawakened. So even though the minority of water in the fish brine is batel barov, when you mix it with other water, it's going to reawaken the tumma in that minority of water, because the water is no longer a minority. Now the water is a majority. So the Gemara says, Abaye said, what do you mean? You think tumma that's batel is going to be reawakened? Once it's batel, it's batel. It's not going to be reawakened. So the Gemara had said, oh yeah, even you, Abaye, are moda, that sometimes when tumma is batel, it can still be reawakened. And it gave the case of Rabbi Lazar Shita when it comes to a sa'a of truma tmeya that falls into 100 se'in of chulin tahorin. So Rabbi Lazar says, you take out sa'a and you let it rot. So the Gemara had said, in relation to Rabbi Lazar Shita, that when you eat whatever remainder after you take out that sa'a, when you eat what you eat, you have to eat it in such a way that it cannot be mekabel tumma. Why? Because we're afraid that you're going to take another kav of chulin that's tame from somewhere else, you're going to have a kav va'od, a kav plus a little extra from this original taroves, and you're going to say, it's okay, the chulin that's tame is going to be batel, the kav of chulin that's tame is going to be batel in this kav va'od, so it's not going to be a problem. And you're not going to realize that in the kav va'od that you have, there's still a little bit of tame produce in there. There's still a little bit of tumma. And when it combines with the other kav of tame chulin, it's now going to become a majority. And therefore, it's going to become a problem. It's going to be ma'orer. It's going to reawaken that tumma. And even Abaye was moda that it reawakens the tumma in that situation. So Abaye came up with the following chiluk. He said, no, there's a big difference between the two cases. In the latter of the two cases, you're mixing it with a kav of chulin tameim. You're mixing it with something that's tame. So tumma can be ma'orer tumma. When you're mixing it with something that's tame, that item that's tame is going to combine with a minority of tumma produce in the kav od, and it will reawaken that tumma. Tumma can reawaken tumma. But in the case of the tzir, so you have a little bit of tame water in the tzir, when it then mixes with water in a pot, tahar water in a pot, it's going to become majority water, but that's not going to reawaken the tumma because the water in the pot is tahar water. It's not tame water. Tara can't awaken tumma. That was the chiluk that Abaye wanted to say. So one little point just on the discussion about the tumma being about the case of the truma that was tame that had fallen in. So the Gemara had said that what you might come to do is you'll take a kav of chulin tameim, you'll mix it with your kav va'od of this taroves, and you'll say no big deal, I'll just be mevatel perov. So Fractosos, can you just say that? No big deal, I'll just be mevatel perov. Fractosos on the top, tema, ma yoil, ha'ein mevatel nisil chachila. You're not allowed to be mevatel nisil chachila. You can't plan on being mevatel something. That's absolutely forbidden to do. And not only that, v'afilu shogig and batel ein mevatel, l'man yabar begit enough of an espat to be mevatel be mezel yalu. That there is a shita in Mesechus Gittin, that even if b'shogig you're mevatel perov, you're mevatel nisir, it's still not going to become batel. Ein mevatel nisil lechatchila, you're not allowed to go ahead and be mevatel and iser. So Tos writes that there is a mandiyamar and gittin that holds that a shogeg bittel does work, and we're not kones shogeg atu mezid. So maybe over here we're talking about that you did a b'shogeg. Why was it b'shogeg? Because you thought it was mutter to be mevatel the truma that's tameh in the tahara stuff, that you didn't realize that it's aser. So omer mutter would have the same din as shogeg. The Taz quotes from the tour and the marshal that it seems that both the tour and the marshal hold that any time you intend to be mevatel and iser, even if you thought it was mutter to do so, you can't call that shogeg. You can't say that you were mevatel b'shogeg. If you're intending to be mevatel the iser, granted you didn't know that there was a halachic problem with that, but you had clear b'mezid intentions to be mevatel the iser, so the Torah and the Marshal think that that cannot possibly be called shogeg. However, the Taz brings many rayos that the din is not that way, and that the bittel does work in such a case. And then he says at the end that he found that in our Tosfos as well, that even if you say you're kone shogotu mezid when you're mevatel nisil chachila, but if by an omer mutter, then for sure the bittel is going to work. When you thought that it was mutter, then for sure it's going to work. Okay, but all of that is just to introduce the concept of tuma ma'orer tuma, but ain tara ma'orer tuma. That tuma can reawaken dormant batel tuma. Tara cannot reawaken dormant batel tuma. That is Abaye's shita. Now, if tuma is going to reawaken tuma that's already been batel, what that means is that when tuma has become batel, it doesn't mean that it has completely disappeared. Bittel did not take away its characteristics entirely. What bittel did was it rendered it ineffective for a period of time, and now when we're ma'orer it, it comes back. The effectiveness comes back. But the underlying assumption of tuma being mevatel, being ma'orer tuma, is that the underlying assumption is that even when the tuma is batel, it's still there. It's there, but it's batel. So now the Gemara is going to ask three kashas on that. Is that really true, that it's still there, that the tumah is still considered to be there? So says the Gemara, kasha number one, Eisvei. We're at the two dots of Gimel and Aleph. Eisvei. Efer kosher shenasariv ve'efer makla. So there's a halacha called efer para aduma, that in order to be matar someone who's tamei to a dead body, you need to take the ashes of a para aduma, of a burnt para aduma, mix it with water, and that mixture, it has the ability to be matar someone who's tamei meis, but anyone else who touches it becomes tamei. That's one of the unique characteristics of para aduma, one of the difficult things to figure out about para aduma, impossible things to figure out, why it is that it's matame some and it's matahir others. But someone who touches the Efer of Paraduma is going to become Tameh. So let's say you have Efer Kasha, regular Efer Paraduma, that's Tameh. Shenis Arif be Efer Makla, that gets mixed in with other regular ashes. Purely normal stove ashes or oven ashes that are not tame at all. So what do we assume? Do we assume that this mixture is tame, or do we assume it's tahar? Holchen achar rov l'tame. We say that we follow the majority. If the majority is the efer makla, it's good. If the majority is the efer paraduma, it's tame. V'iru be'efer makla hu lo mitame. So if majority is efer makla, then it's not going to become tame. So says Gemar v'i amrit tuma kamandi isei dami. But if you're going to say that even when tuma is batel, it's still there, it's just not able to express its characteristics right now, but it's still there. We assume it still exists. So granted, when you touch this Efer, you shouldn't become Tameh, but you should at least become Tameh when you lift it, when you carry it, because the Efer Paradum is Tameh B'masa as well. So if you hold that it's still there, so good. When you touch it, you could say, okay, I'm touching the Rov. I'm touching the Efer Makla, which is the majority, and therefore I'm not becoming Tameh. But when you carry it, by definition, you're carrying the entire thing. And if you assume that the Tuma ashes are still there, so you're carrying the Tameh ashes as well. So if you're going to assume that Bittel does not work to completely nullify and completely get rid of the minority, so then you should assume that that you're carrying tamei ashes as well. So answers the Gemara. Hayit Marla, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Tahar mi l'tamei b'maga, av m'tamei b'masa. In a chinami, when we say that it's tahar, it only means that you're not going to become tamei from touching it, but from carrying it. In a chinami, you will become tamei from carrying it. You'll note Rashi at the end of Dibur Maskel v'Amr Tuma writes v'kaimelon de'mei chatos ve'efer chatos m'tamei b'masa, that we pass that both mei chatos and efer chatos are both m'tamei b'masa, they're metame by just carrying it. So the Rashash and Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horovitz in the back of the Gemara both point out that this is a very big chiddush that Rashi is saying, because it sounds like Rashi is saying, what's the difference between Efer Chatos and Mechatos? The Efer Chatos is the ashes before you mix them with water. Mechatos is the ashes after you mix them with water. Sounds like Rashi is saying both of those are metame b'masa. The Rashash writes, b'miyat b'kiyusi, with my minimal b'kiyus that I have, I never was able to find where we see that Efer Chatos is metame b'masa. We find all over the place that Mechatos is metame b'masa, but we don't find anywhere that Efer Chatos is metame b'masa. And not only that, it sounds from the Rambam in his Hakdama to Seder Taros, he writes that Efer para aduma kasher nisare b'mayim hamayim, when you mix it with the spring water, that's when it becomes tame. That's when it's going to have the ability to be metame somebody. Makes it sound like before you mix it with the spring water, it's not going to be able to be metame anybody. So that is the difficulty with Rashi. There doesn't seem to be any real source for this idea that the afer prior to the mixture with the water is metame b'masa. That's just a side note. Well, a couple of other points over here, though. We say that we follow the road to be metame. You have a mixture of ashes and ashes, the ashes of mechatos together with our regular tohar ashes. We follow the majority. So some sofer in the tshuva in Yordea Simon Reishai and Zayin points out that there's a kasha, the Achronim ask, on the Magen Avram. Magen Avram is from Tav Tzadiches, Sivkat and Chavches, where the Magen Avram writes that if you mix, let's say, Efer of Yantif, which is Muktza, the Efer that was created on Yantif in the oven, which is Muktza, with the Efer that was created the previous day, which is not Muktza, it's Batel Berov. Efer be'Efer is Lach Belach, and you should need Shishim to be Mevatel whenever it's Tarovus of Lach Belach. Definition of Lach Belach doesn't have to mean it's wet. Lach Belach just means that it's not discernible, that they're not separate. If I have three hamburgers, two of them are kosher, one of them is not kosher, that's Tarovus Yavish B'Yavish. But I have flour, let's say, that's kosher flour, and not kosher, Chadosh and Yashin gets mixed together, that's called Lach Belach, because you can't to identify each individual kernel. So then it's going to be, so this is Tarovus of Lach Belach. So says the Magen Avraham, yeah, don't worry about that. Since it's Muktza, which is only Midrabanan, we could be Mekel and rely on Bithel Barov. Normally, Tarovus of Lach Belach, you need Shishim. Tarovus of Yavesh B'Yavesh, Rov is good enough. So the Magen Avraham wonders, why is it that when you have a mixture of ashes that are Muktza and ashes that are not Muktza, why is it that we're willing to say Bithel Barov? It's Lach Belach. We should say bittel only b'shishim. So says Magen Avraham, nah, you say bittel berov because it's only midrabanan. So we're not going to require muktzah, is only midrabanan. We're not going to require shishim. So says Chassam Sofer, this Magen Avraham is against our Gemara. Over here, our Gemara says that bittel berov works even by Efer that's asur min haTorah. Because what are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with Efer para aduma. That's a din d'oraisa that it's metame. We're not dealing with muktzah over here. It's a din d'oraisa that it's metame. So you have to say, why is it batel berov? Why don't you need shishim? After all, it's tarovus of lach belach. So this we already discussed. We had a Tosfos on yesterday's daf, where Tosfos said a very big chiddush, a very important chiddush, that the concept of bittel b'shishim only applies to food items. When you're dealing with non-food items, so there is no concept of shishim. What's the whole idea of shishim? That shishim is no sin tam. That's the amount of time. That's the percentage that you can detect the taste of something. That's the idea of shishim. So over here, it's we're not dealing with a food item. So mainly, you're not going to say a bittel b'shishim. So that's the correct pshat. Not like the Magen Avraham says. Some sort of points out. Not like the Magen Avraham says that you would say Bittel Barov only because it's Dindarabban. Over here we're dealing with Dindaraisa, and we don't say Bittel Barov. Weiter in the Gemara now. So the Gemara now asks the second question. Again, the second challenge. How can you tell me that Tumah's Ma'orer Tumah, which means that the Tumah that has already been Batel is considered as if it's still there, it still exists, and therefore you're able to reawaken it? So, frankly, Gemara challenge number two. V'amar Rav Chista Nevela Betela B'Shkuta, She'i Efshal Nevela Shetiasa Shkuta. Nevela meat becomes Batel in a majority of Shechted meat, and the reason is because it's E'efshar for Nevela meat to become Shkuta meat. So says Rashi, now it's a backwards girsa. The girsa should not read, it's impossible for nevela meat to become shchuta meat. It should read, d'efshal shchuta shteasa nevela. It's impossible for shechted meat to ever become nevela, to ever become treif. So says Rashi, Uman de Garis She'ef Shal Nevela Shatiyasa Shchuta. If you have the girsa that it's impossible for Nevela to ever become kosher, he says that's not true. Shabeshtihi, that's a mistaken girsa, because it's simply not true. That which is Nevela can become kosher again. How so? Da'ef Shal Nevela Shatiyasa Torah Shchuta Shalot Tami Klum. How can a Nevela lose its tumah status? Kigon Ki Misruchala. When it rots, when it spoils, its tumma status goes away. The Gemara is going to say later on, that which is royal leger is kari nevela, that which is edible, it still has the status of nevela, that which is inedible does not have the status of nevela. So that's why the girsa should be that it's efshar that shchuta should become nevela. That can't happen, but nevela can in fact become shchuta. But either way, what's the Gemara's raya over here? The Gemara is trying to say that if you have nevela and shchuta mixed together, you follow the majority, and therefore, if the majority is shchuta, it's not mitameyu. So, frak the Gemara, nihide b'magalo mitama, letame b'masa. Granted, it's not going to be mitameyu b'maga, but let it be mitameyu b'masa. Because again, the same idea, that when you touch it, you can say, okay, I'm touching the rove, and the rove is shchuta, so I'm not becoming tameh. But when you carry all of it, if you're carrying the entire thing, so by and you assume that that which is batel is still there, so by definition, you're carrying the nevela as well. So it should be mitameyu. So isn't this a raya that that which is batel is not even considered there at all? Amalei, so he responded, no, atun bid Rav Chista masnisula. You learned this within the sheet of Rav Chista, and that's why you have akasha. Anan bid Rabbi Chia masninala. We learned this within the sheet of Rabbi Chia. And Tani Rabbi Chia, nevela v'shchuta b'telu zubazu. Rabbi Chia holds nevela and shchuta could be mevatel each other. V'itmar Allah, but we said about that, am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, tar mitami b'maga, av mitami b'masa. Meaning, it can only, when we say that it's batel, it means that it's not able to any longer be mitami. So basically, the first two questions the Gemara posed to challenge this idea of the tumah still existing in the taroves, the answer was enochinami. The answer to both questions was, you're right, it can be, the tumah does still exist. It should be mitame b'masa if you carry it. It is mitame b'masa if you carry it. When we said it's tar, it means that it's not mitame b'maga. So the answer is the same in both cases. The answer in both seems to have been an einal chinami. Now, Rashi writes that the chiluk between maga and masa, I mean, why is it that you have nevela and shchuta mixed together? So majority is shchuta. We say that when you touch that mixture, you're not going to become tameh. When you carry the mixture, you will become tameh. What's the svara for such a chiluk? Why, when you touch it, will you not become tameh? When you carry it, will become tameh? So Rashi writes, like I explained, that when you touch it, you have the right to assume you're touching the part of the mixture that is the shchuta, that is the Torah part, and because that's the majority. But when you carry it, by definition, you're carrying the nevela as well. So Tosfos just points out that chiluk doesn't really work, because I'll assume that whatever case of touching is a parallel to the case of carrying. No? So if when I carry it, I'm assuming that I'm carrying the entire thing. So the case of touching should be when I'm touching the entire thing. Meaning, if I touch a little piece of it, I understand that I could be tala that I'm touching only that which is that which is tahar. But if I carry just a little piece of it, so then I should also be tala that which I'm carrying only that which is tahar. It's easy for Rashi to make a chiluk when he changes the case on us. He says, when you touch it, okay, you're touching just a little piece of it, so you assume that's tahar. And when you carry it, by definition, you're carrying the entire thing. So I say, you're carrying the entire thing, and therefore you're for sure carrying something that's tame. Who says I'm carrying the entire thing? Maybe I'm only carrying a little piece of it. So Tosfos is very bothered by what exactly the chiluk is between Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa over here. So okay, the Achronim work on that kasha a little bit. Another very important issue, a very big halachic topic and shas topic that comes up in these few lines over here, is we said that Nihidib Magala Matam Masa, so there's a general machlokas rishonim, how bittel works. Let's say I have, like we said before, three hamburgers. Two of them are kosher, one of them is not kosher. I cannot identify which is the kosher, which is the non-kosher one, and which two are the kosher ones. So the Rashba writes in Taras Abayis, in Shar Aleph, Bayis Dalid, the Rashba writes that bittel barov that something that's batel barov is even though it's batel and you're allowed to eat the entire mixture, the iser does not turn into heter mamish, meaning the trefa hamburger did not become kosher. I am allowed to eat all three hamburgers. He says, yeah, that's midin halacha hararov. Each hamburger that I eat, I could say, this is from the majority, and therefore this is a kosher hamburger. However, if I want to put all three hamburgers in one big triple-deck burger and eat it all at the same time, that would not be permissible, because the iser does not become heter. It doesn't change into something that's mutter. It still remains usser. It's just that each item that you eat, you could say, oh, this must come from the rov, and therefore it's mutter for me to eat. That's the Rashba's presentation. Now, the l'chora, this only makes sense by yavish b'yavish, by tarovas of yavish b'yavish, where you could say each eating is from the rov. By lach b'lach, the stipler points out in B'chorah Simul Chav Dalet, it's a little bit more difficult, because by lach b'lach, we assume that every bite that you take has a little bit of everything in it. It has some of the iser, some of the heter, it's all mixed together, so it's a little more difficult to understand how the Rashba would apply to a taroves of lach b'lach. But anyway, that's the Rashba Shita. The Rush disagrees. The Rush of Maseches Chulin, Perek Zayin, Simon Lamed Zayin, says that no, that the Isser turns into Heter. That Isser Mamish becomes, that when you're Mevatel the Isser, it Mamish becomes Heter, and therefore you take all three hamburgers, pile them on top of each other, eat them all at the same time, that's completely Mutter. So Tosus over here in our Sugya writes a third approach. You could eat the whole thing all at once, but the bittel doesn't work to turn the iser into heter. How can I eat all three at once if the iser didn't turn into heter? The reason you're allowed to eat all at once is because every mashuhu that goes into your beis ablia, that goes into your throat as you swallow, is batel barov. So there's bittel barov as you swallow each and every mashuhu. So that's the shita of Tosos. The Rush asks from our Gemara that it says that when it comes to Tumas Masa, the Nevela is not batel b'shchuta. So if you mean it right, what does our Gemara say? That if you have Nevela and Shchuta meat that are mixed together and you touch it, as long as it's majority Shchuta, you're going to be tar. But if you carry it, you're going to be tamei, right? That's the Gemara's conclusion. If you carry it, you're going to be tamei. So what do you see? It must be that the iser is still there. If you say that the iser is nepach laheter, that the iser turns into heter mamish, so why when you carry it should you be tamei? When you carry it should be tar, because there's no nevela anymore. The nevela has turned into shchuta, it's turned into heter. So that's what the Rush asks on himself. Why is it that in our Gemara you in fact are tamei when you pick it up? So he says, l'chor, you could prove from here that bittel does not turn it into heter mamish. And therefore, if you know that there was nevela in there, when you lift it up, that's why you're tamei. So the Rush says, maybe that's not such a raya against me, because maybe you can't compare tumah to iser. By tumah, there are two types of tumah. There's tumas maga and tumas masa. Maybe the bittel only worked legabe tumas maga, but there was no bittel legabe tumas masa. So l'inyan, the tumah of the nevela, it did turn into heter mamish legabe tumas maga. It just didn't turn into heter mamish legabe tumas masa. As opposed to by achila, if there's any achila problem with it, the whole thing would be aser. Okay, there's more to say, but let's go on. Let's try to make sure we finish the daf. So says the Gemara Vayter, third challenge now. The third challenge to the idea that the tumah lies dormant but is still there even when it's batel. So frak the Gemara Vahad, Tanan Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the page. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Omer behema gasa sheshafa chareres dam harezuti kaver v'niftar min habachora. Our Mishnah, you have a behema gasa that a clump of blood comes out of it. So we assume that clump of blood needs to be buried because it might have Kedushas Bechor, and any future offspring of this animal is not a Bechor, because we assume this patterned it from future Bechoros. V'tani Reb Chiya eina metame lo b'maga v'lo b'masa, and Reb Chiya says it's not metame b'maga or b'masa. So wait a second, am I? Didn't he b'maga lo metame tetame b'masa? What was the whole svar that it's batel barov? That even though there might be a bechor in there, that bechor, that animal, is batel barov of dam and little pieces of flesh that came out of the mother. It's batel barov. So granted, bittel barov should help that it's not metame b'maga, like we keep saying, because when you touch it, you could assume you're touching that which is tahar, but you're touching the rov. But why isn't it metame b'maso? When you carry the whole thing, at the end of the day, you're still carrying that which is tame. So isn't this a raya, therefore, that when something is batal, it loses its characteristics entirely? It's not that it's lying there dormant, but it's waiting to come back. No, it loses its characteristics entirely. So ishtik. So that he had no response to. He had to be quiet. That there's no way to defend. Says the Gemara, yes, there is. Maybe over here it's different, that the reason that it loses its characteristics entirely is because it becomes completely spoiled. It's tumma that became completely srucha, became completely disgusting. So says, and therefore it loses its status of something that's tame. It's not even tame at all when it becomes completely spoiled. So the Gemara says, Hanichal barpad the damer tumma chamura ad the ger v'tumma kala ad the kelev. So he says, well, that would work if you assume that that which is metame b'masa, tuma chamura, that which is normally metame b'masa, will lose its tuma status as long as it's no longer edible lager, it's no longer edible for human consumption. Meaning as long as it's srucha to the point, it's spoiled to the point where a human being cannot eat it, it will lose its tuma status. Tumakala, that which is only metame, the bimaga, that which is tumakala, would only lose its tuma status when a dog could no longer eat it. So then that would make sense in our case, because over here we're talking about this chareres dam, this clump of blood that came out of the animal, which is not ra'ui for a human being to eat, but it is ra'ui for an animal to eat. So I understand very well, if you hold that which is not ra'ui for a human being to eat can no longer be metame b'masa, so I understand very well that this clump of blood is not going to be metame b'masa. Halochaz yilager, because after all, this is not ra'ui for a ger. El Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, to Omar, achazu ve'achazu ad lekelev, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that either way, that whether you're talking about tumakala or tumachamura, it retains its tuma status until it's no longer edible, even for a canine, even for a dog, it's no longer edible. Well, then hachazi lekelev. Well, then this chareres dam should still be tame, because it's still ra'ui for a dog to eat, so it should still retain its tuma status at least a little bit, because it's, after all, it's ra'ui for a kelev. Says Amar Kasha, yeah, so that's taka difficulty. If you assume like that shita, that something remains tame until it loses it, that even that which is tuma chamura, that's metame b'masa, remains tame until it loses its status of until it's inedible even for a dog, so then in Achinami you have a problem over here. Why is it that this chareres dam is not metame b'masa? So that would taka be a problem. The implication clearly is that the even though it's batel, it still retains its it does not still retain its tuma status. When it's batel, it loses its tuma status. That's why it's not metame b'masa, against what we were saying before, that the tuma can be ma'orer tuma, which means that the tuma is still lying there and waiting to come out and waiting to express itself the entire time. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Sharavos HaTuma Paragimel Halach Yud Aleph writes that an avelas of tahar that is no longer edible for a dog becomes tahar. If you have a nevela of nof tahar, which is metame bebeis abli, it's a very unique kind of tuma. Nevelas of tahar is only metame in your throat. It's metame when you swallow it. So nevelas of tahar that is no longer ra'i for a dog to eat becomes tahar. So minchas chinuch and mitzvah kuf samach aleph os tezvav asks on this Rambam, why do you need it to be nifsal me'achilas kelev? I understand very well, he says, by a nevelas behema or a sheretz, where the Torah says it's metame both b'maga and b'masa. So Chazal darshan from the psukim that our Gemara has, that anything that's roi lekelev is metame, even if it's nifsal me'achilas adam. As long as it's still roi lekelev, it's still going to be metame. But a nevelas of tahar, the whole tuma of nevelas of tahar is in a maisa achila, is when you eat it. So just like we say kol nefesh asher tochel, and the whole tuma is in the maisa achila, so it should have the same din as machalos asuros, as food. The halacha is by food, when it's no longer edible for human consumption, it becomes kosher. It's no longer not kosher, even if it came from a nevela. When it comes to tumas maga masa, good. So we have such a din that it needs to be nifsal me'achilas kelev in order for it to become tahar. But when you're talking about achila, when you talk about eating, so in order for something to be able to be eaten, it only needs to be nifsal me'achilas adam. So why is it that the Rambam paskins that a nevela of tahar, which is only a din in eating, why is it that nevela of tahar has to be nifsal me'achilas kelev? Rav Yosef Engel just adds in Klal Aleph in Asfon Dar Raisa that in Maseches Menachos the Gemara is clear in Menachos Daf Ayin that if a person eats an Ov Tar Shelo Kederech Achila, he doesn't become Tameh. So you see even highlighted more over there that it's totally completely in a Maisa Achila. Because if you eat it Shelo Kederech Achila, so that's not called a Maisa Achila. Mela, it's you're going to be Tar. You're not going to become Tameh. Why not? Because it is all Dinan Achila. So if it's a Dinan Achila, why do we care about whether it's Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev? Shouldn't we only care if it's Nifsal Me'achilas Adam? So the stipler writes, in Masechta Shavuos, the stipler is Metarets, that you have to say that in order to become Tameh, it has to be a Maisa Achila with all the conditions involved in a Maisa Achila when you eat an Avelis of Tahar. But that which the Meichel, that which the food itself is Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, is that you wouldn't call that an Achila, is not a Reis on the Maisa Achila. I mean, when you have food that's disgusting, and then you eat it, that's not a Chisarn in your Maisa Achila. Your Maisa Achila is still a Maisa Achila. It's din in the Cheftza Hane'echal, the object that you're eating. When it becomes spoiled, so the object itself became Nifsal. But it doesn't take away the fact that, meaning that the object loses its Torah Achila, loses its status of that which is eaten, but it doesn't take away from the Maisa Achila at all. So you could say that the din of Nevelos of Tar doesn't require that you have a Cheftza that's Ra'ui for Hana'as Achila. Maybe Nevelos of Tar only requires a Maisa Achila. So the thing could be terribly spoiled beyond human, you know, lower than human consumption, but it doesn't take away the fact that you're still doing a Maisa Achila. And as long as you're still doing a Maisa Achila, it still has the ability to be Metame you. It's the Cheftza Nechal is not a Nechal that's right to get Hana from, but the Maisa Achila is not ruined at all. That's how the stipler understands that Shita of the Rambam. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara, second line from the top of Gimel and Beis. Gufa, Barpada Amar, Tuma Chamura Ad Leger, V'Tuma Kala Ad Lekelev. Right, we just said that when you're dealing with something, it's Metame B'Masa, so it only loses its Tuma status when it's no longer Ra'ui for human consumption. When you're dealing with the Tuma Kala, then it's not going to lose its Tuma status until it's no longer even Ra'ui for a dog to eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Achazu V'Achazu Ad Lekelev. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it doesn't make a difference what kind of Tuma, it's only once a dog can no longer eat it, only then is it going to become Tahar. So my time at the Bar Pada, what was Bar Pada's reasoning? Why the difference between Tuma Kala and Tuma Chamura? Because the Pasuk says, L'soch l'kol nevela, and the Pasuk goes on to say, L'ger, it says you shouldn't eat nevela, L'ger asher b'sharecha titnena. Instead, what should you do with the nevela? Give it to ger asher b'sharecha, give it to a guy. So what do we dash him from there? Haru'i l'ger, kriya nevela, v'she'en haru'i l'ger, ain't a kriya nevela. That only if you can still give it to another human being, and that human being would eat it, only then is it still called nevela. If you can no longer give it to another human being because no human being in his right mind would eat it, then it's no longer called nevela. So that's where Bar Pada got the idea that when it comes to nevela, to a tumah chamura like nevela, as long as it's not any longer ra'ui for human consumption, it's going to be tahar. The idach, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to say? L'mu'uteh hecha d'sricha me'ikara. Rabbi Yochanan will say, that's coming to tell me that if it was originally spoiled, it's not going to be considered nevela. But if it was once ra'ui for consumption and then became spoiled beyond human consumption, it would still be a problem of nevela. It would only lose its status of nevela when it's not ra'ui for canine consumption. What's the difference? So Rashi explains, he points out that to take something that was already had a certain status and be mevatel that status takes a lot more than to never allow the status to be chal in the first place. Right? When an animal was alive, let's say, and one of its limbs was not being nourished for some reason from the rest of its body, it had some sort of circulation problem or something, and one of its limbs rotted and turned disgusting before the animal even died. So the animal wasn't a nevela, and there was a rotted limb already on the animal. So then when that animal dies, that rotted limb will not become a nevela. Because it never was a nevela, it's not going to become a nevela as long as it's rotted beyond human consumption. But let's say you have an animal that was perfectly healthy, someone shot it in the head and killed it, they hunted it instead of shechting it, so now it's a nevela, right? So the meat is perfectly kosher, not perfectly kosher, perfectly tasty. The meat is very good, there's nothing rotted about it. It already has the status of nevela. For it to lose its status of nevela, it's not enough for it to rot beyond human consumption, it would then need a lot more. It would then need to rot even beyond canine consumption. That's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So he doesn't deny the drasha. He holds that there is a drasha that when it's not royal ager, it's not called a nevela, but he says that's only talking about a case where it was shrucha meikara, where it never was ra'oi for consumption as a nevela. V'idach is shrucha meikara lo tzricha kra. And Bar Pada would respond that lo tzricha kra lamute, that if it was shrucha meikara, you don't need a pasuk to be mema'it, a case where it's shrucha meikara. Afra bi'almahu, if it's shrucha meikara, it's considered like dirt, it's considered like dust, it's nothing. We wouldn't require a pasuk at all. Tzan, Reb Lozer ben Yaakov Amr, Behema Gasa Sheshafa Chareres Dam, Harezu Tikaver, V'Nifteres Mina Bechora. If you have, our Mishnah said that, if you have a Behema Gasa that excretes a clump of blood, so it gets buried, and the animal's future offspring is parted from Bechora. V'Tani Reb Chia, Inim Metame Lo B'Maga V'Lo B'Masa. And Reb Chia says, it's not Metame B'Maga or B'Masa. V'Am Reb Yochum Mishum Bittul B'Rov Naguba. And Reb Yochum says, because it's Batal B'Rov. Whatever animal is in there, is in that Chareres Dam, is Batal B'Rov. Well, according to what we just said, why do you need bittul barov? It was never roi. Since it was never roi for human consumption to begin with, so it never should have the status of nevela. So it says, it was once roi for consumption when it was still inside the mother. So it was roi, agav the mother, and that's why it would need to be nifsal meyachilas kelev to lose its tumah status. Or it would need to be batal barov to lose its tumah status. You can't just say it lost its tumah status because it has rotted beyond human consumption. That's only true by something that was never ra'ui. Tanan hasam, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov Amr Tsir Tar Shinafel Tocha Mayim Kol Shu Tamei. If you have fish brine that's tar, that a little bit of water falls into it, it becomes Tamei. Amr of Nachman Amr Rabbi Arvua Zosomeres Nechsha Meres Tarev Mechza B'Tsir. So you see that Amei Aretz are Nechshad, that when they make their Tsir, when they mix their water and their fish brine, they use Tamei water. So, and they must have used half tamei water. So they use half tamei water. Now you put a little more tamei water into it. So now the whole thing is going to become tamei. Why do you have to say that it's that they use half tamei water, even if they use 49% tamei water? Vani mashu havale palga, and you mix it with another mashu of water, so that will turn it into 50-50. And once it's 50-50, that's going to be a problem because now the tamei water is not going to be batel anymore. I mean, what the Gemara is asking is, why do you have to set it up where you can end up with 51% tamei water? So, and that's why it's going to be a problem. Set it up where at the end of the day, when you mix it, you'll have 50% tamei water. That itself is a problem because it's no longer batel. Upalga lo batel. Half is not going to be batel. So says Gemara Ema Ad Mechta. No, we didn't mean that the Ama Aretz originally puts in 50% tamei water. We meant he puts in up to 50% tamei water, but it might be 49%. Iba Yisema, or we could answer, Tumas Amaret Rabbanan, Tumas Mashkin Rabbanan, Beruba Gazer Rabbanan, Bepalgo Palgo, Lo Gazer Rabbanan. Maybe in a chinami, since we're only dealing with a Tumah Mid Rabbanan, it's not going to be a problem when it's 50-50. Even if it's 50% Tamei water, we're not going to assume that's going to be a problem. We'll only assume it's a problem if you have Rove Tumah. And that's why we dafka want to set up the case where it's 51% Tamei and 49% Tahar. Okay, new mission. Shimon Lomer. Halokech behema menika min ovi kuchavim, ein choshen shema benasha lacheresaya. If you buy a nursing animal from an ovi kuchavim, you don't have to worry that maybe the animal that it's nursing, the baby that it's nursing, is someone else's baby, and this animal, in fact, has not yet had a baby, and its next child is going to be, its next offspring is going to be a bechor. You do not have to make that assumption. You see an animal nursing, and you buy it from a guy, you have the right to assume that if it's nursing young, that it's its own young that it's nursing. It's already had a baby. Similarly, nichnas l'toch edro v'ra'as ha'mavikiros menikos sheinim ha'mavikiros menikos ein choshen shem b'nosh al zu balo etzel zu o shem b'nosh al zu balo etzel zu. Let's say you have 10 animals in your field, and 5 of them have had babies previously, 5 of them have not. They were all pregnant, Right now they're all pregnant, five of them with their second offspring and five of them with their first offspring. You go inside, you come back out, and there are 10 babies there, and they're all nursing from mothers. All the babies are nursing from mother animals. Do you have the right to assume that the five that are nursing from the five that have had babies previously were their own children? It's their own second child. And the five that were nursing from the ones that did not have babies previously were nursing from their own mothers. And therefore, you know exactly which five of these animals are becharos and which five aren't. The five that are nursing from mothers that never had babies previously must be becharos. And the five that are nursing from mothers that had babies previously were not becharos. Or should you assume maybe they swapped babies? Maybe the babies all went to different mothers and everyone's nursing from everybody else. So now you have no idea which ones are the becharos. You didn't get to see the leida. You didn't see the birth. So you don't know who was born from who. So the Mishnah says, no, you have the right to assume everyone's nursing from their own mother. You don't have to assume that they swapped in any way. Now, Tosos previously on Daf Chaf and Beis brought a raya from this Gemara that milking itself, the fact that an animal is lactating, is not enough of a raya that it had a baby already, that it was a behema mevakeres. Because if that were enough of a raya, so the first line of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. You buy a behema from a guy and it's nursing, it's young, so then you don't have to worry that maybe that young belongs to somebody else. Sounds like if you just see that it produces milk, you do have to be choshesh that there's a problem. It's only because you see it nursing a particular baby that you have the right to assume that that baby is its baby. But otherwise, it sounds like the fact that it's lactating would not be enough of a raya that it had a baby, because sometimes animals lactate even before they produce offspring, even before they have a baby. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says there's no raya over here. Chalav, he says, would certainly pater if you find an animal of a guy that's producing milk, it would certainly pater from Bechora. Over here, the reason we need the fact that it's nursing this baby is because, let's say you have a situation over here where you saw that this animal was able to produce milk before it ever had a baby. You knew for sure. Let's say you knew this animal was lactating even before it ever had a baby. So then, now we want to know, is the fact that there's a baby sucking from this animal, is that enough of a raya that was its own baby? So that's what the Mishnah is being mechadesh. That even though you know this animal is lactating before it had a baby, so therefore the lactating itself is not a raya to anything. The fact that a particular baby is sucking from it, that's a raya that it's its baby, and therefore the next baby it has is not going to be a bechar. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll pick up with the Gemara tomorrow after the Mishnah.